say, men read what is written, whether faithless or true. So tell me, what is the gospel according to you? And tonight, we're going to peek into Paul's life, and we're going to see what kind of a gospel his life was writing, what people were reading from him, and we'll learn how we can write a true and a faithful gospel in our own lives. So chapter 1, verse 12, he continues on with his letter. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. Now, before we get into the lesson, I do have one little correction. You know, James tells us, be not many teachers, for they will have a stricter or harsher judgment. I want to correct something from the first lesson. It was not false doctrine. Thank you, Jesus. But I did mention that Paul was in the Mamertine prison when he was writing this letter, mistaken. He was later in the Mamertine prison. He's just in prison, in chains, without the freedom, without the privacy. But he wasn't in the, remember I showed you that picture? That was later in his life. And that's what I get for having my plate too full, trying to put four Bible studies together at the same time and plan a women's conference. No excuses, but I've already, you know, had my boo-hoo with the Lord. Thankfully, it wasn't false doctrine. Nobody stumbled over the mistaken prison incident that you probably have all really, you know, you remember every word. Okay, so he is in prison in Rome, writing to the Philippians. And at that time, there was a church in Rome. Paul did not start the church. He had always, in his other letters, he's wanted to go to Rome. He wanted to go to Rome. Finally there, but he didn't want to go as a prisoner, but he's finally there. But there was a church established there. And there were many people who loved him and supported him and prayed for him. But there were also many who opposed him. And those people, they just added to Paul's what we would call very miserable circumstances of being falsely accused, and which is why he is in prison, that his reputation was just slandered. His name was just being dragged through the mud. I mean, you know, you put yourself in that place. We do not like anyone misrepresenting us or saying anything bad about us. And we certainly don't like to be falsely accused of anything. And he's confined in prison, chained 24 hours to a guard, absolutely no privacy to do anything private at all. And if that wasn't bad enough, these people who opposed Paul, they just added to all that in trying to hurt him and causing him pain. You know, when people do things against us, that it's very hurtful. And for him to have to deal with that on top of everything else, those are tough, tough circumstances. Now, it tells us in verses 15 and 16 that there were people preaching the gospel there out of selfish ambition. That was their motive, to make themselves look good. However that manifests itself, But they were preaching out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, and out of spite, just to hurt Paul. Now, I don't know what that would have looked like, but that's a pretty, we would look at that. We would look at somebody and just say, what are you doing? And yet they're trying to get back at him, but they didn't have the result that they thought they would have. Because Paul, if, as you see in verse 18, he said, it doesn't matter. Let's just preach the gospel and I will rejoice in that. You know, sometimes we can, and maybe rightfully so, in a righteous anger, we look around at the way the gospel is being presented by certain groups or individuals, and we can get irritated and angry at that, because it's like, what are they doing? They're doing damage to the name of the Lord when they think they're doing good, or they're being too harsh, or they're trying to cram it down people's throat, or, you know, and then you're just thinking, oh, would you just stop? Would you just stop? And we can get upset over that. And yet the Lord can use anything and anyone to bring people to himself. I had a friend who years and years ago in the hippie days, you know, she watched Jesus Christ Superstar and gave her life to the Lord. Had nothing to do with the true gospel. He can use anything. And Paul had the right attitude. You know, I don't all the time on that. But he had the right attitude. He said, I don't, you know what? Yeah, they're wrong. But the gospel is being preached. And that's what I will rejoice in, because people will get saved. Now, he tells us in verses 12 through 14 that his circumstances have actually been used for the furtherance of the gospel. His being falsely accused, slandered, in prison, all of those things has been for the furtherance of the gospel. Because of his imprisonment, he has been able to witness, to share, to preach the gospel with each and every one of those guards that are chained to him. If he had his believers visiting him and they're sharing the gospel, the guard is going to hear. And then the guard has his shift, and then a new guard comes and a new guard comes, and all that, and all the other people around can all hear the gospel being preached, because that's what Paul did. I mean, he breathed Jesus. It was all about him all the time. And so he tells us that the entire palace guard knew that his chains were in Christ. Everyone in the palace, everyone knew about Jesus because of this. And how else would they have known if Paul hadn't been in prison there? So, and then he tells us in verse 14 that a lot of the believers there, they gained confidence and boldness through Paul's circumstances so that they would speak out for the Lord. They looked at him, this apostle in prison, and under these circumstances, preaching the gospel, and it gave them strength. It gave them boldness. They weren't afraid, oh no, if I do this, I'm going to be in chains. No, it was like this supernatural work in their own heart and life to then they could be bold in preaching the gospel. And isn't your faith increased when you hear about others who have suffered or are suffering, and yet they're victorious, and yet they represent Christ in the middle of their circumstances? And don't you receive strength and then feel emboldened that by their victory, that maybe I can do this? I do, just in reading about Paul. And how many years ago was that? But I read that, and I go, okay, it's the same power. It's not like he's anything, you know, I mean, he's a great man, but it's God's Holy Spirit, his power that he gave to Paul, that he gives to us. So when I read that, I get strengthened, and I'm like, okay, if Paul can do that, then I can do that. when we read and we reread and we reread over the years about Joseph in Genesis, we know Joseph's life and all that he went through. His brothers sold him into slavery. I mean, they didn't care about him. They threw him in a pit and they sold him, and he was taken into Egypt, and then he was sold into, got into Potiphar's household, which was good, and God's hand was on him, and he elevated him to a high position. But then he's falsely accused of trying to rape Potiphar's wife, and he's thrown into prison. I mean, what kind of circumstances are those? I mean, that's bad. That's hard. But we know that then he was in prison, and then God's hand and his favor was upon his life, and he raised him up to a high position in prison, delivered him out of prison, into Pharaoh's household, made him second to Pharaoh in the land. So, and this was over years and years and years. And he, at the end of Genesis, when he's talking to his brothers, what does he say to them? What you meant for evil against me, God meant for good. When we read that, I mean, doesn't that strengthen you? Because you just sit there and you go, okay, wow. How can he do that? Lord, work in my life and help me to have that. I mean, it strengthens you, doesn't it? I mean, it just gives you a little boost in saying, okay, maybe I can do that too. Joseph, he chose to see his circumstances in light of God's will and God's plan. We have a choice. He didn't just look at his circumstances. Oh, poor me. Oh, my brothers, look what they've done. And I'm here in this stinking prison. And now I get falsely accused of rape and, you know, blah, 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 blah. How we do? No, he chose to look at it all and go, God's working. He has a plan and he has a purpose. We don't see it as it unfolds. He probably didn't know any of that. It's at the end when we look back. But he's working in us. We can choose to see our circumstances in the light of God's will and plan. When we read Hebrews chapter 11, that hero's hall of faith, when it, you know, by faith Abraham, by faith Moses, by faith, by faith, by faith. Let me read some of that. That those people who walked in very difficult circumstances, those who subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mocking and scourging, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. All these having obtained a good testimony through faith. They didn't have the promise. They didn't see Jesus the way we've seen Jesus. They looked ahead and they were victorious by faith. Now, I don't know what happened to you when I read that and you were listening. I know what happened in my own heart when I was reading. My heart was stirred. Like, yes, yes, okay, if these people can look at their circumstances in light of God and his will and his plan and be victorious, then I can too. And then what about, you know, modern day saints? Those are the saints of the Bible. But what about modern day saints? And there's so many of them. You know, I was thinking about Jim Elliot and those other men that were with him in the jungles of South America, just in the 50s. And that they were preaching the gospel, and those natives that they were preaching to speared them to death, left their wives widows. And Jim's wife, Elizabeth Elliot, the circumstances surrounding that, she could have chose to look at and said, poor me, I'm in my 20s, I have a baby, my husband's gone. But she rose up above. She chose to use those circumstances. She went back into the jungle and she lived there among those natives that killed her husband to preach the gospel. And then later, years later, she remarried. She was only married for 3 years and her husband died of cancer. She's a widow again. And then years later, she married again. And all of those trials, all of those circumstances were for the furtherance of the gospel. She's written dozens of books. She has taught hundreds and hundreds of messages. She has touched thousands and thousands upon thousands of people's lives because she chose to look at her circumstances in light of God and His plan, His will, and not in light of, oh, poor me. And then what about all those that you know, that I know today, some in this church, who have lost a child, who have gone through abuse or divorce or illness, and we have been able to watch their lives, and then the book that they're writing, the chapter that they're writing, and watch them choose to view those circumstances not against them, but that God is for them and with them. You know, I thought about this, and I get encouraged. They're living examples to us. And I think about my friend Leanne years ago when she lost her husband and the conversations we had and watching her walk through that in a way that honored the Lord. Think of my friend Sheila, who lost her husband years ago, who honored the Lord in the pain and the loneliness and all of those circumstances. And I think of I have a friend, Frank. I just saw him, his wife, Tammy, my friend who taught me the guitar, who he lost his wife 4 years ago. And I've watched him amazingly go through that loss and turn it for good, for the furtherance of the gospel. And you know, I think of my dear friend, Jane Chewinga, who isn't here tonight, who's been with women's ministry for years, leading groups, praying with you. And the circumstances she's in, she's home tonight battling cancer. And yet she is choosing to see her circumstances through God's eyes, His will, and His plan. And it is for the furtherance of the gospel. You read Jane's blog, you go visit Jane, you talk to her on the phone, and she just has the right heart and attitude, and it's glorifying to the Lord. And what does that do to you? What does that do to me? It builds me up. It's just like these people who saw Paul in prison, and it said that they've become confident by his chains, much more bold to speak the word without fear. I look at these people and I become more confident and more bold to preach the gospel, to share Christ, to say, I want to do that. I want to live like that. I want to be victorious like that. You know, each one of us is a living epistle. We're writing a book, a chapter a day. People read our lives. And just as the whole palace guard knew that Paul's chains were in Christ, do you know that word gets out when I go through a hard time, difficult circumstances, whatever it might be, and they are reading what we are writing and how we're handling that trial, that difficulty, as we go through a separation, as we go through a divorce, as we live in a very difficult home life, as we're caring for maybe an aging or the health failing husband or parent, or we have a wayward child, or we have financial difficulties, or whatever it might be. We're writing that chapter every single day. And what you are writing, people are reading. And it can be for the furtherance of the gospel. You know, it's been said so many times, but it is so true. our circumstances can make us bitter or better. They just, every single day, bitter or better. Bitter if we see these things, and no matter how difficult they are, and there's some pretty painful things that we have to go through. But we will become bitter if we see these things as against us. Somebody's doing something to us. Why did they do this to me? If I'm viewing this circumstance against me, Paul could have. They were doing it against him. They were. And he didn't view it that way. Why? God's in control. God's in control. We can become bitter if we blame other people. It's their fault that I'm like this. It's their fault that I'm angry. It's their fault that I'm sad. It's their fault that I'm alone. It's their fault that I don't have any money. It's their fault. It's their fault. It's their fault. Or we blame God. It's his fault. Why did you let this happen? You who control everything, why did you let this happen? I can't believe you would take this away from me or let me or whatever. We become bitter when we have that kind of an attitude. Bitter if we fight and we fight and we fight and we fight against our circumstances. And we do because we don't want them. You don't want to be sad. You don't want to be in pain. You don't want to be alone. You don't want these things. But when we fight it, we become bitter. And it really is for the hindrance of the gospel instead of for the furtherance. So how much better? Oh, so much better when we look at our circumstances and we believe and then we say, what you meant against me for evil, God meant for good. He is working. I don't care what you say about me. I don't care how you reject me. I don't care. It doesn't matter because God is for me. Who can be against me? Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. I can choose that. I can choose that in my difficult circumstance. And better, oh, so much better, when we can say, just like Job did in his very, very difficult circumstances, shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? Blessed be the name of the Lord. I mean, don't you want to do that? Don't you want, in any trial, don't you want to just say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Better, oh, not bitter, better, so much better when we believe and when we say, as Paul did in the letter to the Romans, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Whatever I am going through, whatever suffering it might be, compared to heaven, compared to what awaits me, it's nothing. It's nothing. And it's so much better when we can believe, when we can say, when what is coming out of our lives, that chapter that we are writing, that we can say, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Because the things that are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And there are some key words in there. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It's working for us. Do you believe that tonight? Whatever circumstance you're in, however difficult it is, you're battling a health issue, you're battling relationship issues or financial, whatever it might be, do you believe that this trial, these circumstances is working for you. It's not against you. Well, those other people are working against you. The enemy's working against you. But God said, oh, no. It's working for you. I'm in charge here. And I'm working, and it's working for your good and for the furtherance of the gospel. Each of us is writing a book, a chapter each day. By the deeds that we do and the words that we say, and men read what is written, faithless or true. So what is the gospel according to you? Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that when they see your good works, they're reading your life and it's all good because you're praising the Lord, you're clinging to Him. He said, then they're going to glorify my Father, which is in heaven. And Lord, that is my prayer for myself and for my sisters. And Lord, sometimes we can hear these things and we don't like them because it's so hard. We are in such a painful situation, such a hard trial. And we just want it to go away. Lord, would you work your word, these truths, into our hearts, that we would truly know that it is, and compared to heaven, compared to what awaits us, eternity, that it is a light affliction. It is but for a moment, not worthy to be compared to what awaits, and that you are working good in our lives. Lord, we want to shine for you in the difficult circumstances, just as Paul did in that prison and all that was against him. But he lived for you and he rejoiced in you. Teach us, Lord. Drive these truths deep within our hearts. Make them real. Make them alive. I pray that each one of us would just freshly surrender to the Lord. And let's just take a moment and be quiet before the Lord and do that.